Well, good morning, Butler Area School District. My name is Mr. Walsh. Currently, I am an 8th grade pre-algebra teacher and algebra teacher at the Butler Intermediate. I'd like to first lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you want to take a minute and stand, if you have a flag to look at or pull up a flag on your phone, or just think of the flag, the red, white, and blue, we're going to all say the pledge. All right, let's start. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you, guys. Hey, we have a quote of the day today. Here's something to think about. Maybe it motivates you. Maybe you want to share it with somebody. You can write this down. It says, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you'll never go anywhere. So I'll say that again just in case you missed it. Ready for it? It's a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you'll never go anywhere. Something good to think about. Maybe it motivates you to think about making some changes in your life in a positive way. Maybe share that with a friend or relative today. All right, speaking of today, I, like I said, am a math teacher, and I'm going to talk to you about a math concept that's not always covered in different textbooks, and it's something that's fun that can be relatable from 7th grade math all the way up to calculus. I am going to be talking today about a fractal. Now, what is a fractal? Anybody know out there? Oh, I can't see your hand. So I'll just tell you, fractals are these complex patterns, and they're kind of self-similar across different scales. And you've maybe heard the term in a famous Disney song, Frozen Fractals All Around, maybe from the Frozen movie. Princess Elsa sings that while she's in her ice castle. But fractals, we see them all around. We really do. We see them in frozen objects, oftentimes in snowflakes, or, you know, the way that rain will freeze on windows and forms these fractals. It's like a repeated pattern at different scales. Really good examples in nature would be the fern. So if you know what a fern looks like, think about it, right? It has it's basically like this giant kind of leaf-looking thing, right? And it has all these branches off each side, and each one of those branches off of the fern look like a little miniature fern, right? And then off of those branches are little leaves, and each one of those little leaves are shaped like an even more miniature fern. And that's kind of like three levels deep of a repeated shape, the shape of the fern, which is a really cool fractal that we see in nature. Now, there's another type of fractal that we eat. And if you want to freak somebody out or, you know, sound a little different, I guess you could say, yes, I was eating fractals for dinner last night. They're actually pretty good for you. We're talking about broccoli. So think about if you go to the grocery store and you're in the produce aisle and you find the big head of broccoli, right? What's that broccoli shape look like? Right, there's a big stalk, right, kind of like the stem portion of it, and then, of course, it juts out and it makes this big kind of bulbous top, right? And so that's what our broccoli looks like whenever it's in its big form, but, of course, we can't eat it like that, right? We take it home, we wash it, we chop it up, and then, you know, if you're picking broccoli off of, let's see, like a veggie tray, right, those little bite-sized pieces of broccoli, what do those look like? They look like a miniature size of that big chunk of broccoli that you got from the grocery store, right? They have the stalk, and then it expands out pretty quickly to have the more bulbous top, right? And then if you look very, very, very closely at the top of a piece of broccoli, it's a piece that often gets stuck in between your two front teeth, right? It's those little, tiny little pieces of green that you might see. And if you pick one of those off, it's really, really small, but you'll see it. It has a stem part of it, and then it juts out, and it makes a bulbous top, just like all the other pieces of broccoli that we've talked about. It's that repeated shape, which is really kind of cool. And those are some that we'll see almost every day in nature. One that you might not see as often, but it's a really cool thing to see in nature, is the nautilus shell. Right? They have cross-sections of the nautilus shell, if you want to Google that. And you'll see that the nautilus shell has all these different chambers, and these chambers are kind of like one shape inside of another shape inside of another shape that gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as they go all the way around in a spiral. And some of you math students out there might have even made your own Nautilus shell-looking art project in a math class. I know Mrs. Bodimer does the Pythagorean spiral. It's all these right triangles that you make into a nice big spiral art project that I've seen all over the walls of her room before. So if you've had Mrs. Bodimer, you know about that shape. That's another version of a type of fractal where you have this repeated scaled shape. So another one that is maybe more obvious one in some senses, and one that we're going to practice. So if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, or if you need to go grab one, and we'll make our very own fractal tree. Right? So you think about just a single tree and what that looks like. We all know that there's a trunk, okay, and then it branches out into big branches, which branches out into little branches, and then it branches out into little twigs, right? And so we're going to make a couple different levels of a tree, and we're going to keep track of some of those numbers, and we'll talk about those numbers in just a little bit. But first, you have your piece of paper. What I'd like you to do, if you have a full sheet of paper, I want you, from halfway down the paper, just make your tree trunk. So starting in the middle, go straight down the middle of the paper, and we will call that your tree trunk, okay? So from the top of that tree trunk, I want you to make a V shape that's about half the length of your, the trunk of your tree, okay? So you have a V, which will, you know, on top of a tree trunk, it'll look more like a Y shape now, right? And those big branches that you have coming off the top of the tree trunk will be about half the size of your initial tree trunk. And then what are we going to do? We're going to repeat that. And that's the thing. That's how we can make our fractal, by repeating a simple process over and over in an ongoing fashion. And so you can really take this as far as you want. And we're going to talk through a couple more levels of it, right? So now you're looking at a Y, right? And at the very top of each end of those Y's, I want you to repeat that process. Make a V shape that is about half the size of the branch that it came off of, right? And then once you have those done on each Y, now you have four ends of the tree. And I want you to try that on each of those four ends. Make another V shape that is about half the size of the branch that it came off of. Once you get those one, two, three, four more V's on those, you can do it over again and again. And again, as much as you think you can on your piece of paper, it can make a really kind of cool art project. If you want to expand on that, you can put some leaves on it eventually and, you know, color it. But I'm going to talk about how that grew, all right? So whenever we were first looking at this shape, right, it had one tree trunk in our first picture. We started with one, right? And then we went to, you know, making a V off the first one. If you want to make a table, follow along and make a table with two levels. On the top level, write out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, and we'll talk through six different levels of our fractal tree. Now, for underneath the 1, there is just one, we'll call it a tree trunk, right? Now, under the 2, that's where we made our first initial V, and then there were two that came off of that one. So you'll put a 2 under the 2. Now, the third time that we moved on with this process, do you remember how many there were? There were 4 off of that one. So on the top row of your table, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And on the bottom row of your table, you have 1 under the 1. Under the 2, you have a 2. And under the 3, we now have a 4. Because what's happening on each one of those? It went on the bottom row. It went from 1 to 2 to 4. And if you made more branches after that, under the fourth time you did this, you'd have an 8. And then if you did it again further, it would double again. So under the fifth time that you did this, you'd have 16. So under the 5, you'll have 16. And then under the 6 in your table, you'll have a 32. Right? And so how many branches do you end up having? If you did this 6 times, you'd end up with 32 branches. And just like that, it keeps doubling and doubling and doubling. And by doing that, what are we doing? We're doing multiplication, right? It keeps multiplying by 2 from its previous number. So So another way to think about this is we're actually talking about exponents, right? We're talking about 2 raised to a certain exponent, right? Because the first time we doubled the trunk, right? Under the 2, we have 2. That would be 2 to the first power, right? And then after that, it doubled to 4, so that would be 2 squared. And that doubled to 8. That would be 2 to the third power. And then 2 to the fourth power is 16, and 2 to the fifth power is 32, and we can keep going on and on and on. And those exponents help us keep track of those numbers a little bit easier. That we would just keep doubling. You'd say, how many times am I going to multiply by 2? 2 times itself one time would be 2 squared, right? 2 times itself, or 2 times itself one time would be 2 to the first power, right? Or we'll get it eventually here. 2 to the second is 4, right? 2 times itself 3 times. If you have 2 times 2 times 2, that would be 8, right? And it continues on like that. All right. Now, hey, on the reverse of that paper, if you have a blank paper on the back, I want to try one more type of fractal, and you can try to write this down or just ask, hey, Google, what's a Sierpinski triangle? Okay? A Sierpinski triangle is another really cool type of fractal that we'll talk through in just a minute or two here, not to get too complicated. But if you want to, on a blank piece of paper, make as big of a triangle as you can and try to make each side of the triangle the same length. Okay? Almost like we call that an equilateral triangle. So once you have that big triangle with it pointed up, right, so one point at the top and 2 points at the base on the bottom, I want you to find the middle of each side of that triangle, the middle of each side, put a little dot at about the middle. You don't have to measure it or anything, but just eye up. Where's the middle of each side of that triangle? Put a dot on each of those. And if you were to connect those dots, those midpoints of each side, connect those dots and you'll form an upside-down triangle inside the original big triangle. So go ahead and do that. Connect those dots. And you form an upside-down triangle inside the original big triangle. Now, in fractal form, as I said, we can make this a fractal by repeating this simple process over and over. So what was the process that we did? We found the middle of the triangle, of each side of the triangle, and then we connected those dots to make an upside-down triangle. So, not looking at the upside-down triangle, but looking at the 3 new triangles that were formed, you now have a chance to repeat that pattern. So you should have a triangle at the top and a triangle on the bottom left and a triangle on the bottom right of that inside of the big triangle, right? And if you're following all that, you could find the middle of each one of those little triangles, right? If you find the middle of each one of those, you can connect those dots and you'll make 3 more triangles in each one of those. So if you try that out, something cool happens there where it creates that same shape, just a much smaller version of it, right? And that's another version of a fractal, and you keep going on and on and on with that. And there's some 3D versions of this out there on the internet if you want to look that up, the Sierpinski triangle, and we can talk about how that kind of changes, right? If we looked at how many triangles we had whenever we made one on the inside, we would have 3 more new triangles that were made. And after we did it twice, well, now you'd be looking at 9 triangles. And if you go from 3 to 9, and you go up to 27 and 81, we're talking about 3 raised to an exponent, right? So 3 to the first power, 3 to the second power, 3 to the third power, right? So this level of math that we're talking about could be around pre-algebra, right? As we're talking about exponents, you'll see it again in algebra. Really, we see it all the way up through. But if we have any high school students listening, maybe you're in a higher level math, we're talking about fractional exponents, right? Exponential functions, right? Exponential functions. And, you could talk about, y equals 3 raised to the x power is one way to represent that fractal that we just talked about. Right? If you're in calculus, we could use integrals, right? An integral of e to the x uses that exponential function. And if you are in calculus or you want to, be in calculus someday, you could look at fractal calculus. That's a thing. It's called fractal calculus, and much more involved to get in, to talk about over the radio, but it could be worth looking into if this is something that intrigues you. It's kind of a cool and exciting type thing. You can look for fractals all over, and that's my assignment to you. I'm going to give you guys some homework. One, part of the homework, tell somebody what a fractal is today, right? Second part of that, look for a fractal in daily life. Maybe it's a pattern on a shirt, or maybe it's something you found in nature. Maybe it's something around the house. Look for a fractal somewhere in real life, and just make note of that and be like, hey, that's a fractal. Maybe tell somebody about it. But I think they're a fun, cool part of math, something that maybe you haven't heard about before, and it's something that really can involve a lot of good numbers if you're a numbers person to really dive deep into. But that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed my little mini lesson on fractals. Hey, make the best day you can out of today. I know not everybody is in the most ideal situation. Maybe you're cooped up at home, or you know, some other situation that is not ideal, that you may be dealing with other things, but I'll revert back to our quote of the day, that if you have a bad attitude about it, it's like a flat tire, right? If you don't change it, you'll never go anywhere. But you have a chance now that you can really dive deep into your work, right? And the process here isn't necessarily about grades, right? But we are counting grades now. Okay, things are starting to count. Talk to your teacher if you're not sure about it, but you can take my word for it. Grades count now. Right, so you got to put forth the effort, but on top of grades, really, you should just be trying to learn, okay? So learn something in each of your classes today, right? Make yourself a little bit more knowledgeable in each one of your classes today, right? All right, thanks, everybody, and have a great day.